had it not been the Lord who was on our side, we would have never made it. Amen? All right. We worship today a God who lives and a God who breathes and a God who seeks to save. And may we rest and fall in the middle of worship on that God who gives to us so much, even in our moments of struggle. Will you pray with me as we worship together? Father, for the love, for the grace, for the mercy, for the escape that you have given to us, we give thanks. May your word speak now, and may it speak loudly to the souls who hear. May you guide, may you teach, may you encourage, and Spirit, may you guide. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Doug and I begin a series today talking about our vision for this next year. 2020 vision. We won't be able to do this next year because 2021 vision doesn't sound right. But the idea of our vision and what we want, not just this year, but what the shepherds and what the ministers have wanted for this family always, is that we be all in. Everything we have, that everything we are, that we're all in. And as Doug challenged us, and there were some challenging words in Doug's message last week, some things that kind of made us look at ourselves and what we do and how we live and how we operate. We continue that thought with this idea that we're all important and that we all need to be all in. And so we're going to talk about over the next few weeks some challenging questions. The questions that challenge, frankly, your ministry staff and the shepherds of this church first. And some challenges that may make us feel uncomfortable when asked. Some questions that you may not like to hear. There's been some things that have been on our heart as a staff that we want to be able to communicate to the family. And so here it is. Our first question, while not up here, is on your bulletin. Is, as a body of believers, are we moving or are we just meeting? By that I mean, are we actually going in a direction or are we just simply filling up a space? I mean, everybody's got your spot. I mean, your backside divots fit just right. If you were to move pews, you'd be like, well, this doesn't feel right. You know, we know where we sit, and we're a product of, honestly, way, 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 way back when the Roman Emperor Constantine became a disciple, became a Christian, and we went from meeting in homes, in close circles, to meeting in cathedrals. While we don't call this a cathedral, that's where it kind of all started, these buildings where you sat and you looked at the backside of somebody's head in front of you as you worshiped God. And so often as believers and as disciples, we tend to, and here's the uncomfortable part of it, we tend to rely on this hour to be our discipleship. And we leave here, and we kind of forget who we were when we were here, right? Because it's easy to worship God, right? It's easy to sing the song, had it not been for the Lord who was on our side. I mean, it's easy to sing that. It's easy to sing joy to the Lord. It's easy for us to sing all of these songs and to worship God and talk about God when we meet. But then sometimes we forget who we are when we leave here. And so the question is, as disciples, are we moving? Or are we just meeting? Often we live our lives in an instant kind of a world, right? I mean, we want everything now. We want everything right here. I mean, I remember the days when I first had internet, all right? Do you remember, and somebody might remember before this, but as far as I remember, this was the first sound when you went to get on the internet. You know, I don't know what the sound was exactly, but it was something like that, and it took it a while. You had to sit there and listen to that, but oh man, when you got there, it was awesome. So you didn't mind waiting. I mean, that was really cool. Your world was opened up to an entire world that was larger than where you lived, and it didn't take very much time. And so that was really cool. You could get across the world in a matter of probably about 2 minutes, however long that little sound took for you to connect. And then that sound went away. And guess what? You expected it to be right then. And more and more and more, and I have complained about my internet service here in Roswell. Can you believe that? I mean, it takes it sometimes 2 seconds to get to it. I remember being excited after that 2 minute long noise when I could get across the world, and now I get aggravated when it's not instant. We live in an instant kind of a world. We go to a fast food restaurant. My family will tell you probably one of my biggest pet peeves is when a fast food restaurant is not fast. I mean, I pull up to the restaurant, and based on the restaurant and my experience, I will judge whether I need to go through the drive-through or go in myself. I will take the extra energy to get out of my car if I know I'm going to have to wait in the line. And I watch when I come out, I pay attention to what cars were in the line, and I make sure I come out. And if that car was still there, it was a success because I've got to have it fast. We're in an instant kind of a world. You don't cook things in the oven anymore. You cook them in a what? Instapot. I mean, it's faster. The pressure cooker, I mean, makes everything great. Not against them. I love them. I want to have one. But we live our lives in this kind of world that says, I got to have it, and I've got to have it now. And Jesus tells a story, or the scriptures, Luke will record a story about Jesus that says that life is not in an instant, but it's in one day at a time. So if you want to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, we'll be there here in just a second. Are we moving or just meeting? A lot of times we can challenge that, and man, we prayed about it as a staff this week about how we're going to present this. I mean, we could bash people and say, well, you just got to get up, and you just got to go, and you just got to quit being so stinking lazy and get off your pew and go and do something. But we don't want to go that direction. I mean, I've challenged myself in that manner. You can challenge yourself in that manner. But there's a story in Luke chapter 2 that reveals to us that life is not simply about just barking at people and telling them to quit being lazy or to quit just meeting in a place and start moving. And it starts in Luke chapter 2 in verse 41. I know Luke is the Christmas story, right, that we've pulled out of during the holiday season. But here's a story at the end of Luke chapter 2. Now, Luke chapter 3, we jump to Jesus being 39 years old. So there's a lot that happens in chapter 2 to chapter 3. But chapter 2, verses 41, says, every year Jesus' parents traveled to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Passover. Now, we know the Feast of the Passover was a remembrance of what God had done, how God had delivered the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage, and they had placed the blood over the doorpost of their house, and those who had that, the death passed over their house, and they lived, or the firstborn lived, and God delivered them through the blood. And so this is a remembrance of that event, and how God delivers us, and one day will deliver us through the same blood. When he was 12 years old, now, not baby in a manger anymore, 12 years old. Anybody 12? Raise your hand if you're 12 years old. Anybody close to 12? All right, there's some close to 12. That's where Jesus is in this story. And they went up as they had done, as they had always did for the feast. Now, it's no journey. If you look at the map here, you'll see and up, you know, it looks like it's down, but Jerusalem was up, elevated wise. And so that's about a 5-day journey, 5 or 6 days, depending on how many children you had and how many bathroom stops you had to make, but really probably about a 5-day journey. And so there's an intentionality to this. You want to talk about going from just meeting to moving, you got to be intentional. So every year, Jesus' family went to the Feast of the Passover in Jerusalem. They were intentional about doing the things that God would have them to do. That's part of our learning to go from one point to another point. Keep reading Luke chapter 2. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. All right, so they're back, going back home. He stayed back in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Thinking he was with their company, they traveled on for a day. When they began to look for him along there with their relatives and friends, when they did not found him, they went back to Jerusalem and they looked for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed and at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." I mean, I can picture her picking him up by his shoulders, maybe just a little gentle shake, because he's Jesus after all. She knows who he is and doesn't want to make God mad. What have you been doing? We've been looking all along. We traveled a day. However far they got in a day, they came back. A lot of traveling, a lot of inconvenience. What are you doing? What are you doing in this setting? You were supposed to be with us. I mean, parents, do you ever tell your children, "What are you doing? We got to go. We've got to get going. Where have you been? Pick up your stuff. Pick up your room. Grab your stuff. We got to go." That's Mary. Now remember, Jesus is in the process of learning. Joseph probably told the story maybe on the way. Maybe as they were gathering in the evening on the way to Jerusalem, Joseph would tell the story of the Passover lamb. Can you imagine what Jesus might have felt? Maybe because he didn't fully understand at this point, maybe who he was. But maybe he could feel something stirring within him. What a time for Jesus. And he responded with this passage, with the next verse. It says in verse 49, "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying. A light has clicked on in Jesus' mind and in his heart. Somewhere he has learned, because he wasn't born in the manger knowing who he was, all right? There was no goo-goo ga-gas, "I'm the Lord and Savior of Jesus Christ," all right? He had to learn somewhere along the way, and he's picked it up. And there's been a light that has turned on in his life that he is who he's going to be. He knows who he's going to be, and he knew he had to be there in that time. Then he went down to Nazareth, verse 51, with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And here's the verse for the next few minutes that we're going to look at. And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Now those four things are interesting. I want to touch on them for just a second, and then I want to challenge us with what Jesus did and how that helps us go from meeting, just meeting. But you don't leave here thinking, "I believe that this is not important for us." For us just meeting to actually moving for God. The four things there are wisdom, stature, favor with God, and favor with men. Wisdom is not just knowledge, all right? It's not just knowing things. I mean, we've been watching the Jeopardy, the greatest of all time Jeopardy. If you've been watching it, those guys blow my mind. I realize how much I don't know when I see what they do know. You see, wisdom is seeing things from where God sits. Jesus, from that moment on, began to see things from his Heavenly Father's perspective. begins to see things from where God wanted him to be and what God wanted him to do. Our wisdom is not simply knowing things. Our wisdom is seeing things from where God wants us to see things. If you back up one more passage, we're not there yet. Stature is not simply being able to grow a beard. Stature from this is that Jesus began going from a boy to a man. From boyhood to manhood. And maybe here's a call for some of us guys. And I know, because I are one, that we can grow in this area. I know that there are a lot of us guys that could grow a little bit more from boyhood to manhood, even when we can grow a beard. And so maybe some of the challenge for us to go from meeting to moving, especially for some of us guys, us dads, us granddads, in how we work with our families, is to make sure that we are maturing from a boy to a man. There are a few things that kind of contrast the two. A boy is maybe undependable, and a man should be reliable. A boy is selfish, a man should be sacrificial. A boy gives excuses, a man is accountable. A boy acts tough, but a man is vulnerable. You can fill in plenty of those for yourselves as you think of it. But men, maybe we need a little bit more manhood in Lord's family. Maybe that's our movie. Then boyhood. Another one, perhaps, is a boy likes the Broncos. A man likes the Cowboys. We'll let that stay where that is. Favor with God. Don't think that God doesn't love you because you're His creation. Don't think that God doesn't care for you and that you've got to earn your salvation. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about growth steps. Like when your children do something and you simply say, "Whoa, wasn't that awesome? Did you see them?" Somebody took three steps the other day. Somebody I'm friends with on Facebook, one of my former members, she's just had this lump of boy, and he's just crawled around forever, and he took three steps the other day. They scared him half to death with their excitement. We get excited when our children do things. I believe that's what he's talking about, favor with God. You do something, you follow him, you listen to him, and he says, "Oh yeah, that's my child. That you're doing the things I asked you to do. You're coming along the way." Doesn't mean that God doesn't love us before, but I think these are growth steps towards God. And favor with man is not how known you are. Not how many friends you have on Facebook. Not being well known, but maybe being known by. How are you known by those who are around you? What does moving look like? Small steps, okay? Constant, intentional living. Every year they went to Jerusalem. It was their custom. What are your customs in life when it comes to church and God? What are some of the things in your family that are customs in life? Growing is a daily process of becoming, right? Growing is a daily process. You're never going to get there right away. So as we go from just meeting to moving, let us understand it's a daily process. It's something that we're going to have to do, that you can't depend on Doug or I or the shepherds to when you show up at church, that, "Hey, I'm going to grow spiritually because I met at church, because I showed up at the right time." All the contrary. Growth is a daily process. And moving is that daily process. James Clear said this, "A very small shift in direction can lead to a meaningful change in destination." And he talked about, we have a pilot with us, they could probably attest to this. They took off from, he said, "If I take off from Los Angeles to New York City, if I were to change, it was 0.3 5 degrees, and whatever that means, 18 inches or however far that is. He said by the time I got to the East Coast, he would be in Washington, D.C. A long distance for us, you know, just in when we're looking at it from our perspective. You see, change little makes big down the road. That's what he's getting after. So here's some questions to ask as you're thinking about, are we going from moving to from just meeting to moving? When it comes to wisdom, did I ask for it today? James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Did you wake up this morning and simply ask God, help me with wisdom? Give me wisdom today. Did I, question number 2, seek counsel? Remember Jesus in verse 42 of Luke chapter 2. After 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. One of the greater ways that I grow is when I sit amongst people that are wiser than I am and simply ask questions. Question number 3, who did I spend time with this week? Proverbs 13 and 20 says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. One of the greatest things that I think happened, we call it the guys only lunch, like it's a little rascals woman hate club, you can't be a part of it. It's not. Our Monday lunch that we have, that's called guys only lunch, is a way for people, for us guys together, to eat lunch together. And I think it's one of the greatest ways, at least for myself. Not all things that are shared are there are wisdom, and some of the guys could attest to that. But it's a good way for me to sit and listen to Robert. Robert's been alive probably, I don't know, 5 years longer than I have or something, I don't know. But it's a way for me to listen to somebody who's wiser than I am. To spend time with someone who has more years than I have. Who have you spent time with this week? Be intentional about that. Who do you allow your children to spend time with? One of the things, I didn't ask Shannon if this was okay, but every once in a while, is it okay? Okay, you are. She's not sure about it. But when Madeline goes over and spends time with Shannon, it's not time with David, even though David hangs out with him too, but I love that my child spends time with a woman who's been in the faith for longer than she has. Who do you allow your children to spend time with? Are you intentional about making sure that they are growing in wisdom? All right, in favor with God, some questions for that. How have I used my possessions and talents for God this week? The things that I have, the money in my bank account, the ways that I work, the things that I do, how have I used that for God this week? Understanding our doing does not gain God's love. And I want to make sure that we're clear about that. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16 says, and do not forget to be good and to share with others. For such sacrifices, God is pleased. God likes it when we use what we have for Him. God likes it when we teach our children to do things. This coming year, have your ears open because we're going to do some things. We're going to do some serving projects. We're going to help families be intentional. We're going to help you older people without kids be intentional. We're going to do some service projects using the things that we have to teach the very youngest to the oldest among us and make sure that we're using who we are for God's purpose. Did I ask forgiveness? Did you ask forgiveness of your sins today? Did you spend time with God telling God you're sorry? Telling God you're sorry and you want to live better. Confessing the things that you are to Him. Some questions when it comes to favor with others. Here's one: do I need to reconcile with anybody today? Is there somebody in my life, somebody that I'm around, or maybe somebody who's afar off, that I need to make things right with? There's somebody in my life that I need to, before I even worship God, make things right with.
I got a call yesterday from my friend and mentor, Mark Hill. And he called and I said, what's going on, man? I should have known something was wrong. It was just a out-of-the-blue call. He said, oh, Michael's not good. He said, Eric was just killed. 39 years old, killed, helping somebody in a traffic accident. Somebody else wrecked into him. And he sobbed on the phone. All of a sudden, yesterday, my gripes and complaints went away. Life is short. This life on this side of heaven, and some of you know it more than the rest of us, is short. You don't know that you're going to have tomorrow. We don't know as a body of believers that God gives us another Sunday. So are we living a life amongst ourselves that honors God? Is there anybody else that you need to make right with today? Life is short. Who did you encourage this week? Who did you lift up? Who did you help? Who were you a part of? Or did you just walk through the week and not speak to anybody encouraging way? This morning, as I was listening, there was a prayer that was offered in a children's worship at the front of a congregation. And the person that was saying the prayer said, Lord, I didn't get the first part of the conversation, but in the prayer, it said, Lord, help us to be the salt to someone else's pepper. I liked it. I said, that'll preach. As a matter of fact, I'm going to preach about it. Salt and pepper, they work together. I mean, how many of you ever say, unless you're one of my children, just pass the salt, right? You got to have pepper too. Salt and pepper, they just kind of work together. Be somebody else's salt as they are the pepper and you're working together. Who have you encouraged this week? Those are small steps that make a big difference. Paul was saying in 1 Thessalonians 5, therefore encourage one another and build each other up just as a fact that you are doing. Family, take the things that you are doing and do them more. Take the things that are right and make them even better. James Clear will also talk about habit stacking. Now, I love the concept. Let me put it this way. You're driving to work. Pray while you drive. And that's a habit. Every day you get up and you go to work. Maybe it's somebody you see. Maybe you saw somebody in a car and you pray for that person in that car. I go through and I'm working on the habit of looking at the beginning of the day of my organizer that I have and what's going on. And we talk about it on Monday mornings in our staff meeting. Of what is happening? What do you have going on? And so as I look, I begin to pray over those. So there's a habit, and so I begin to pray over those on top of that habit of looking at in my organizer. You see what I'm saying? Find a habit that you're already doing and stack another one on top of it. Sometimes it's little things in life that help us be who we need to be. Here's the truth. We will never, 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 ever move in a way that we need to do just by ourselves. You can't do it without God. For those in here who do not belong to God, can you do some of these things? Absolutely. But you'll never reach your full potential from the Creator that created you unless you are His. And family, for those who belong to Him, we can't do it without Him. Do you remember the disciples before they received the Holy Spirit? Do you remember how everybody had left Him? I mean, they fell asleep on Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter would deny Him 3 times. Everyone would desert Him. Everyone was scared. Everyone was shaking in their little sandals because of what was going to happen, what could happen to them as well. And then post receiving the Spirit, with the power of God, Peter stood up to the Sanhedrin when they said, "You got to stop. You can't do this anymore. Causing all kinds of problems, just not working, guys. You got to stop." The Peter that denied the Christ three times had abandoned him at his most needed moment, stood up and said, "I cannot but speak of the name of Jesus." You can't do it without God. You can't do it without His help. You can't do it if you don't get up in the morning and say, "God, help me through the day. Help me make it through the day. And I promise with the Spirit of God, we will move and not just meet. I promise with the Spirit of God, you will do things that you never thought you would do. You will be able to take action where you never thought you would take action. The times in your life when you would run from God, you will run to God. The times in your life when you ran away from the things you should have done, you will face Him head on with the power of the Holy Spirit." My question is, are you all in today? And may we, as a body of believers, may we, as a family of God, start moving and not just meeting. If you need Him today, some of you aren't doing that. Some of you just showed up because it's time to show up. Some of you just showed up because it was 10 o'clock and it was time to go to church. Church is not a building. Church is a movement. And we want you to be a part of that movement. If you need to be baptized into Him to join the church of God, to join the church that will do things when you never thought you could do, today's the day. Today's the day to be baptized into Him. The water's ready. The church is ready. Will you come to Him? Maybe if you've only been sitting on the pew, today's the day you start making small steps that in the end makes a big journey. We're not leaving you alone on this. The shepherds of this church love you. I'm not saying the shepherds where I've been before haven't loved the flock, because they have. But one of the things in just a year and a half that I've been here, these shepherds love you. And I don't know if I'm supposed to tell this or not, but we talk about you, all right? We talk about you in a way, they talk about you in a way that is loving. And if you've not been here in a while, more than likely you've gotten a card from them or you've gotten a face-to-face visit, because they want you to be part of not just 10 o'clock. They want you to be a part of this church and of this family, of this movement towards God. You are loved. And so if today is the day you need to make those little steps, and if you don't know how, let us know. I'm going to go to the back again. If you need Him, the invitation is open. The elders and Doug will be, Doug usually hangs out at that door after worship, going out under the carport. Any of the elders or their wives or a faithful Christian sitting close to you, if you need help, ask for help. And we're going to do some things this year that will help us in this process to go from meeting, simply meeting, to moving. Family, you are loved by the shepherds, by the staff, and hopefully by each other. And in year 2020, we're going to be, say it with me, all in. All right? Let's stand and sing.